Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Well, if you're new to our area and have never heard about Second Harvest, I want you to pay close attention because this is a marvelous story about how this whole area is being served by a nonprofit with the basics of food, F-O-O-D. Kay Carter is with us today. She is the executive director of Second Harvest, a job you've had how long now?
16 years now. Yeah, I'm getting old up there.
No, I didn't say that.
You implied it.
Stop it.
All right.
16 years. Now, let's go through some basics. Second Harvest, you serve how many counties now? You got some more, I know, but how many?
We did. We added five more counties in the upstate of South Carolina, January the 1st, actually, and now we have 24. We have 10 in South Carolina and 14 in North Carolina now.
And when we say serve, you're doing what with each of these counties? Let me go back. How many different nonprofits are you serving in these 24 counties?
I think we're up somewhere between 800 and 850 now. What we do is we provide food resources to nonprofits that feed the hungry. So we serve soup kitchens and homeless shelters and emergency pantries and senior programs. And so all of our agencies in total in those 24 counties, I think, are somewhere around 800 or 850 now.
I was teasing you before we were on the air.
How many? I can't name all 850. Don't ask me to do that. I love them all, though.
I got you. Yeah. But I bet you at one point or another, you've probably met all the people, all the agencies at one time.
Oh, yes. At one point or another, I've met them all.
So what does an agency, a nonprofit, have to do to qualify for help from you?
Well, there's a little list of things that the best way, if they're interested to find out more about it, is to go to our website, which is www.secondharvestmetrolina.org. And there's a little area on there about how to become a partner agency, and it will explain. But in brief, you certainly have to be a nonprofit. You have to be engaged in supporting the efforts of feeding people, you know, that are in need in your community. You have to have been in operation for a certain period of time and those kinds of things. So there's a quick little chart that you can fill out that'll give you really quickly some feedback on, yes, this is a good match or no, it isn't. So.
And now, how do these agencies acquire this food? You just don't give them this food. There's some kind of a system for payment for it?
Well, there's a not a system of payment for food, but there's a system for how we distribute the food.
Okay.
So the food comes from a variety of different places, and so about 75% of it is donated, and that comes to us from all different, you know, corporations and businesses, grocery stores and food service companies. It comes from people doing food drives in the community, you know, that kind of thing. About another 15 to 20% of what we distribute is through the USDA. The Department of Agriculture distributes commodities of all varieties, and it's not just dry food anymore. It's produce, it's meat, it's basically everything that makes up, you know, a very comprehensive, healthy diet. And then we also do some purchasing. Usually that is for specific programs where we need very specific products. So like if we're packing a backpack for kids to take home or we're packing a senior box, we like for those things to contain very consistent items and healthy items. And so we purchase some of that food. And then once all that food comes in, you know, to the warehouse, we offer it in various ways to the agency. So they can come to our facility and shop once a week. They can come to our main warehouse in Charlotte or any of our branches. We have four branches spread out throughout our service territory. We also, of course, hold mobile pantries and distribute senior boxes and backpacks. So we distribute food that way. So there are a lot of different ways to get the food in the hands of the agencies.
So let's say I'm a nonprofit. I come to Second Harvest and I buy 100 pounds of food, whatever it is. Do I pay you for that food or do I pay you to deliver the food? I mean,
It works different ways depending upon what types of services that you might be acquiring. So the vast majority of our food has no fees associated with it at all. We do have what's called a shared maintenance fee on a small percentage of what we distribute. That is not a fee on the food. It is a fee to help us recoup transportation cost and warehousing cost. And for the items that applies to, it's 18 cents a pound. But again, that only applies to a small percentage of what we distribute. The vast majority of what we distribute goes out completely free.
Gosh, this is amazing. Now, you told me before we went on the air, and I didn't know this, that Second Harvest is part of a larger umbrella organization across the country?
We are one of 206 food banks that collectively serve every county in the United States as well as Puerto Rico. And we are all part of a national organization called Feeding America. And Feeding America is one of the five largest charities in the nation, but also is the largest domestic hunger relief organization in the country. And so while we are governed individually by our own boards, we work through Feeding America to acquire national products. So if they're national retailers, you know, somebody like a Walmart or General Mills or, you know, Del Monte or those kinds of things that have national operations, they work to help acquire food that's then passed, you know, through to the various states and the various food banks. So
somebody like General Mills might have an overrun of
cereal.
Right. We got 100,000 extra boxes of cereal. We don't know what to do with them.
We have a system that we can go in through Feeding America and acquire product. We're allocated a certain number of shares based on our poverty statistics in our area and based on the number of people unemployed in our area. And we can use those shares to go in and acquire product that's offered on a national basis that we would normally not have any access to.
So here we are in 2020. We're coming off probably one of the most robust economic cycles we've ever been through. Our unemployment is really low here throughout the Carolina region. How does that impact what you're doing, since we have more people working now than ever before?
Well, I think the concern with that, and it's true that more people are employed. The problem that we find is that people are underemployed. And what I mean by that is they may not be working full time, or they may be working at minimum wage or not at a living wage. And so there was an interesting study done some several years ago in Charlotte that showed that to afford a two-bedroom apartment at fair market value in Charlotte, North Carolina, required 2.5 jobs at minimum wage just to afford the rent. And so you can quickly see that even if you've got mom working and dad working and somebody working an extra half-time job, it takes that just to be able to afford rent at minimum wage. And so I do think that unemployment statistics can be a little misleading sometimes. It's good that more people are working. It's bad that people are not working at a living wage or that they're underemployed in some way or another. And so we see a lot of what we call the working poor that need our services. We also see a lot of seniors who are living on fixed incomes. It's true that the economy is better. I'm not sure it's better for people that are living at or close to the poverty level.
You've got 800 to 850 agencies that you're serving throughout the two Carolinas. Do you have any idea as to how many people your food is reaching through all these agencies?
We do. We estimate about 1.2 million people per year. So I think that's somewhere in the neighborhood of 120,000 or so people a month that our agencies are touching. We actually require our agencies to keep track of all different types of data related to the people that we serve. You know, we look at things like their ages, their situations. Are they is there a veteran in the household? Is there not a veteran? Is there a senior in the household? Is there not a senior? And so our agencies actually track all that so we can keep, you know, keep sight of the types of populations that we're serving. Of course, everyone we're serving is in need, but, you know, we like to know as much information as we can.
And with the growth in population that we're having throughout this region.
And that impacts us as well, because our food bank is in a very high growth area. We have some really high, fast, rapidly growing counties, you know, Charlotte and the Ring counties. And then we have some counties that, you know, are very rural and not growing. And all of those counties bring different, you know, different problems into the mix. So the rapid growth, even with an improved economy, can sometimes, you know, make that a little more challenging for a food bank in an area where growth is rampant.
But my guess is, while our population is growing, and the last number I heard is something like 100,000 people a month throughout this entire area.
It could be, yeah.
That we're getting that many more people who require your services. In other words, the numbers of those who are, as you say, underemployed is going to be going up, just like everything, just as the population rises.
Well, I think you have people that want to relocate here because they feel that job opportunity may be better here. And then they get here and, you know, for whatever reason, can't find a job right away, or, you know, are struggling. And we see families all the time. And I think that most families, I always say that most of us are one paycheck away from,
oh, yeah,
you know, from being in a predicament where we could ask for help. And that includes even people that, you know, are gainfully employed, because people deal with things. Someone gets sick, and if they're under, you know, insured from a health insurance point of view, or don't have health insurance, you know, you have people that have transportation issues, you have, you know, just all kinds of things. My hours get cut. There are a lot of things that can happen to people, just even people who have made it, you know, pretty well for a long time can find themselves, you know, because of an unfortunate situation, having to ask for help. And that's really hard for people to do, I think.
In fact, I just had a gentleman on here earlier this week. Well over half of America, I'll say 55 to 60% of America, cannot come up with $400 for an emergency. The washer broke
right
down, the car broke down, whatever.
Right.
So you're absolutely right. They're right on the edge of going upside down.
And that's what happens, and that might cause a situation where they have to reach out to an emergency pantry, and they haven't had to do that before. You know, we hear that story all the time. I really do think a lot more people live closer to the edge than people really like to realize, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, you're right. So to do this work that you do every day, 850 agencies, and they're all shopping essentially once a week or once a month, however they do it. Do you have a small army of trucks and drivers to get this stuff? Do you have like freezers and refrigerators everywhere to put this stuff in?
Well, we do. I mean, we have our headquarters is in Charlotte, not too far from Panther Stadium, right around the corner. And we, of course, have huge, you know, coolers and freezers there. We just did a major expansion of that building in the last couple of years, where we doubled all of our space, our dry space, our cooler space, and our freezer space. And then we have four branches sort of spread out through our territory. We have two of those are in South Carolina, and two of those are in North Carolina. We have one in Hickory, North Carolina, which is in Catawba County. We have one in Dallas, North Carolina, which is in Gaston County. We have a large branch in Spartanburg, South Carolina, in Spartanburg County, of course. And then we have our newest branch is in Williamston, South Carolina, which is in Anderson County. It's one of the counties we just obtained in the last few weeks. So we have that opportunity to distribute through those branches. But, you know, so much of what we do is space-driven, you have to have the refrigerators and coolers. I mean, last year we did 60 million pounds or over 60 million pounds. And of that, 32.5 million was produce, meat, and dairy. So if you can imagine handling things that require, you know, freezers and refrigerators and coolers, and that's half of your 60 million pounds or more. And that's product that has to be moved out quickly. You know, you can't sit on produce for a long time. You can't sit on dairy products for a long time. Now, frozen meat, you know, you can hang on to for a minute. Boxes and cans, you can hang on to. So we have to have trucks, and, you know, we have a fleet of trucks, you know, refrigerated box trucks that we use, and drivers and, you know, warehouse people that you know, handle the product and inventory it.
So they do a route to these 800 agencies, essentially?
No, not necessarily a route, although we do have routes in a lot of our counties, but the routes are more concentrated on picking up food.
Okay.
Most of our agencies come to us for the food.
Okay.
And so while we do some delivery and some mobile pantries and things that require us to take product outbound, most of what we're doing with our trucks is picking up product that will then be offered to the agencies. So,
your umbrella group, Feed America,
mm-hmm.
they might have, again, General Mills might call and say, we got 100,000 boxes of cereal. And then somebody will contact you and say, do you need any cereal?
They offer it. We have a platform that's web-based that we can go on and we can look at all the offerings every day. And we can use our shares that they give us to acquire those products. But now we also try to work to find product in our service area. So we are constantly in our 24 counties, you know, calling on donors and picking up from donors, you know, our grocery store partners, our food service partners.
That's amazing.
We have routes that, you know, a driver is in York County every day all week. He's in Cabarrus County every day all week. We have many, many routes in Charlotte. So we have routes all, you know, all around our service territory that go on, you know, day in, day out. Our trucks are on the road 6 days a week, every day but Sunday. We're even out on Saturdays.
So I can imagine, for instance, the supermarkets, the grocery stores, they must have stuff every day. They got to get out of that store.
You have to pick up every single day.
Before
that's
it spoils
correct.
Or
they
whatever.
They can't hold it for a long period of time. And so you've got to have, you know, routes out there picking it up continually. And, you know, and we have staff, you know, we have drivers and warehouse people and, you know, folks that do our finances and our development, but we mostly use volunteers. This past year that we just finished, we did over 300,000 volunteer hours, which is the equivalent of close to 100 staff people or more. And so those volunteer hours are really important to us because they're free. You know, we don't have to pay staff, and so that allows us to be able to use that money to feed more people. And so I believe I just read this, of all 206 food banks in the nation, our food bank here is number 3 in volunteer hours in the entire network.
Goodness.
We are only behind Houston, which is a much larger food bank than us, and I think there's a food bank in California that we're neck and neck with. And so we really place a high emphasis on volunteers because, A, it frees up staff, you know, staff dollars and overhead dollars, but also it engages people in the work, you know, and they get engaged and they enjoy volunteering, and then they're like, hey, my company does this or my church does this.
This is almost like a military operation that you're running all the time. The logistics
Some of my people might think I'm a general.
Well, I mean, you look like a general.
I try not to.
Oh, you're just with some bars on your shoulders. I mean, that's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
It's an amazing operation. I feel lucky to get to do it.
But, all right, we have to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. All right, fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. Ben, are you ready? All right. And everybody who knows anything about Substation 2 knows how it's done, even Kay Carter. The white letters, and we all do it together at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice. Garden. Got to do better than that, Ben. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19's the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Relax. Love your car payment with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. If you're ready to buy your new car and start making those unforgettable memories, Founders features an easy online application, flexible terms, low rates, 24-hour account access with Founders Online, and fast, friendly service. Visit Relax, join Founders.com, or one of our more than 30 offices to see if you qualify for membership. Relax. Love your car payment with Founders. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
These days, there are plenty of ways to stay connected to the internet. Laptops, phones, tablets, games, you name it. But the more devices you use in your home, the tougher it is to get a strong, consistent Wi-Fi signal. Comporium's premium Wi-Fi kit adds multiple Wi-Fi access points throughout your home, eliminating dead zones and interference, while spreading your signal more evenly so you can enjoy a better online experience. Right now, get our premium Wi-Fi for only $9.99 per month. Premium Wi-Fi from Comporium. Connect your whole home.
Good Pharmacy, with a modern look and traditional standards.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. All six of our pharmacists love serving you and your children. Ask us about alternatives for your child's medicine.
My mommy loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration. When you are faced with damage to your home, there is only one company you need to know, Paul Davis Restoration. Only one company that 4 out of 5 insurance adjusters or agents surveyed said they would use Paul Davis to work on their own homes. There is only one company you need to know. Call Paul Davis Restoration, 803-329-1140. It is better to know Paul Davis Restoration and not need us than to need Paul Davis and not know us. 329-1140.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot, definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Kay Carter, the executive director of Second Harvest Food Bank in Charlotte, which is part of a big, big, big operation across the country called Feed America. 206 food banks across the country that are distributing, who knows?
Oh, you're doing billions.
Billions of pounds.
I have no
of food.
Idea. I mean,
you're doing 60 million pounds here.
There are about 20 of us or so in the network, 20 to 25, that distribute over 50 million pounds a year.
Golly, there.
And they're kind of considered to be the large food banks. And then there's, you know, a zillion that distribute, I don't know, 25 or 30 million and on it
all
goes.
All right, a couple things. I think it's amazing. It's about 75% of your food is coming from donations through food producers, supermarkets, whatever. Right. Now, the other 20, 15 or whatever percent, you have to purchase. So you need
purchase some. You need
contributions?
Contributions are great. I mean, you know, we need three things to keep the food bank running. We need food donations. So if you're a food company that's listening or just an individual that, you know, is involved with a church or a social club or your workplace that wants to do a food drive, those are great ways to help. We need financial donations. Obviously, we have to operate warehouses and trucks and all that kind of stuff. And you can do that online. It's www.secondharvestmetrolina.org, and we need volunteers. And so those are the three things that it takes to keep the food bank operating every day. And so if you can help us with one or more of those things, that would be fantastic.
I tell you what, if you're if you got time on your hand to be a volunteer, I would love to do something like this. I
mean, it's fabulous. We have a great time every day. We really do.
I bet you do.
We use volunteers every day, morning and afternoon. Every Tuesday night, Thursday night, and Saturday, and we're always doing something fun. You know, we're sorting food or bagging produce or packing backpacks, or I tell people all the time it's a great way to get your exercise, to meet fun people and nice people like yourself, and it's nice. It's a good fun thing to do.
I keep thinking about a truckload of food that comes in to Second Harvest Food Bank. Somebody has to log all those food items into a computer somewhere.
We have to weigh everything.
Weigh it.
Yep.
Somebody's got to track all that stuff.
We weigh it in and we weigh it out.
Somebody's got to rotate the food
track
to make sure the stuff has been there longest is getting
out. It's called first in, first out, FIFO. That's exactly right. And that way we know that we don't have any waste. And one of the things we're really proud of at Second Harvest is on 60 million pounds, our food waste is 2%.
Wow.
Which I think is fabulous. And our non-food waste is 1%. And so we take it very, very seriously. We don't want anything that's being donated to do anything but help somebody.
So. All right. We got a couple of minutes left in the show. I want you to give us some numbers about York County, what you're doing here as far as servicing people.
Well, you know, York County's my home.
Yep.
I was born here, and except for 10 years that I spent living in Columbia, I've lived here my whole entire life. And so I really do care about this community. And so I'm really proud that next to Mecklenburg County, which, of course, is huge, we distribute more pounds in York County than any other county we serve out of 24 counties. Last year, we did over 4 million pounds here. That was kind of a record-setting year for us. I think we have somewhere around 65 or 70 agencies that we support in York County. That includes all the backpack programs in the county, all four school districts now. We work with the Rock Hill Schools, the York Schools, the Clover Schools, and the Fort Mill Schools. We have a huge senior box program that we do through York County Council on Aging with their assistance, one of our great partners here locally. We work with Dorothy Day Soup Kitchen. You know, if you know a nonprofit in York County, we're probably working with them. And so I love to get involved in York County and try to stay and go to some of our agencies every month, you know, and do something locally every month. So.
And you're also very good at working with, what do I call it, new nonprofits that are trying to get up and operating. I know that you've been involved to some degree with Pathways, because they're soon to be getting into the food business.
We did. We went and met with them, and we're always glad to do that. You know, our job is really just to feed people that need food. And so any nonprofits that are out there that we're not currently working with, you know, you, again, can go to our website. You can call, and we have people on our staff that will walk you through the process. But, yeah, we met with the folks at Pathways recently, and talk to them about what their future plans are. And so we're always glad to do that in York County or any other county we serve.
Okay, Carter, you do remarkable work. It's always a pleasure to get you down here. I keep saying we're going to do the next show up at your place.
That would be great.
I want to see this. I mean, it's
you
just,
come on up. Yeah, we'll be
we'll
glad to
you
host
work.
You anytime. Yeah, we'll give you something to do.
Yeah,
man.
I bet you will. Get that truck, get that pound.
We'll get the general out there and get you doing some work.
And that'll wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Mille Lacs, you're with Founders. Thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, here at Substation 2, fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. Prepared right before your eye. Kay Carter and I are going to tell you how it's done. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
You got it. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.